binge that I've been on. It's been a lot of anime since then, interspersed with Doctor Who and Star Wars and a bunch of the old stuff. But like, just in terms of anime and games, it was like the Dragon Ball Final Fantasy era, and then the Full Metal Alchemist punching me in the face with great shows to the current age.
Well, on that subject, I mean, what do you think about, you know, the cross-cultural phenomenon that is anime, and to a lesser extent, or as it is growing in America, a manga in this country?
I like to think that manga got huge back around 2003, 2004, when I walked into a Barnes & Noble and I saw five whole shelves full of this stuff. But I mean, I could cite Douglas McGray and the idea of cultural capital and cool Japan. And in one of my lectures, Game of Telephone, I talk about how the exotic aspect of Japanese culture has always been a thing. If you go back to Japonisme in like the 19th century, if you look at the obsession with samurai, and you look at how Kurosawa influenced American directors, or you look at how Japan pulled in a Western music and the whole syncretic symbiotic relationship. I could talk about all of that, but I think the thing that, at least in the modern age, that gives it its power is its community, and particularly the welcoming nature of the anime fan community. And this is a point that I will consistently reiterate until the day I die. Anime culture is an open community. It does not require you to jump through hoops. It does not require you to be arbitrary in your justification. It doesn't even require justification 90% of the time. Anime is an open community. And because it's an open community, it leads to people having access to information that in any other fandom, at least the fandoms that I grew up in the 90s, would have required you to prove your worth. I hate that kind of stuff. I will always hate that kind of stuff. And at least when it comes to anime, all are welcome. And I think that's what gives it its strength.
And what do you think about this cultural, collision that, you know, where we've seen, you know, the styles being like that, panty and stocking using the American style that was Gennady Tsarkovsky from I always mispronounce his name to the health extent of Dexter's Laboratory, to a lesser extent, Powerpuff Girls, as well as, you know, the kind of anime kind of influences that are coming into, to an extent with Teen Titans and other animated series, as well as also in comics and manga, how they're kind of cross, you know, what do you think about this cross-pollination?
I would like to point out that the four things that I talk about with cross-pollination – I don't look at Powerpuff Girls or Teen Titans when I want to look at cross-pollination. I look at Exo Squad, which 1992, great show that borrows from the mecha aesthetic and sets this massive serialized story that was almost unheard of in Western style animation at that point. I point to Batman the Animated Series, which was, I believe that was a Pan-Pacific production where they were bringing in animators from overseas. Better example, Batman Beyond, which was a glorious blend where they bring in a character designer that worked with Miyazaki. They used West Eastern Animation Studios and they blended together this kind of cyberpunk Japan theme into the story. And I will always, my recent current cross-pollination favorite, Avatar The Last Airbender, which takes the same kind of anime aesthetic and takes a couple of geeky fans and creates something different. I think with cross-pollination, animation is animation. Anime is a Japanese interpretation of animation. But when it comes to what makes anime so unique, some of the things that make it unique, that make it different, you gotta look at storytelling, you gotta look at philosophy, you've gotta look at the cultural interactions between the characters, you've gotta look at how they're trying to tell a story. And I think that the whole cross-pollination, the world gets smaller, the animators go all over the place, they make their own pilgrimages to Japan, like with Pixar, and they love Miyazaki. They do all this wonderful stuff, and what comes out of it is something new and miraculous.
Awesome. But that is not the only thing, you know, that you've been a fan of and that you've had a lot of experience working with. You are also a major music guy. and worked in the industry itself, as you said, with Sony Records. What do you think about, you know, what do you think about your time there and, you know, how the American music industry has gone since that time?
I worked in many different facets of the music industry. I was a college radio DJ for 5 years. I did a lot. I interned at Sony for a little while. I interned at McGathy Promotions for a little while as a radio promoter. And then I was the, director of marketing at a small indie label, Gotham Records, which is now known as Vital Music Placement. And one of the things that I always noted was the whole way that fans were treated in the industry and how fans directed the industry. Working at an indie label, you got to see that fans had direct feedback with the label heads and had a chance to recommend things to you. There was very little dictation of what the fans ought to like. Working in the majors at the time, especially as a record promoter and as a DJ, the major labels were obsessive with dictating what they wanted you to watch, what they wanted you to like. And in the one case, on one side of the fence, you would see the major labels acting as kind of like taste barons, telling you what you're supposed to enjoy, telling you what you're supposed to experience. Whereas on the other hand, you would have on the indie side, you would have the fans cultivating and building these little communities. You would have, kind of like what you see in fandom, an open versus a closed community. Working for a radio promoter, working for a radio station, working for an indie label, it was very much the community had a strong say in how music was consumed. And they welcomed a lot of different groups in. Going to a major label, you started to see the same kind of gatekeeping. You'd have these brilliant bands that refused to play by the rules so they wouldn't get signed. You would have people criticizing and the criticisms would fall on deaf ears. I think you find that whenever it comes down to the dichotomy between fan and producer of content, there's always been a sort of wall there. And I'm making the wall sign with my hands. There's always kind of a sign of a wall there. And that wall, up until maybe the last 10 years, was incredibly hard to circumvent. And somewhere within the last 10 years, you started to see the wall come down. And you started to see, like, Henry Jenkins brings up this idea of convergence, where the fans dictate the experience they want and they go and make it. The industry can then either choose to acknowledge it, challenge it, or embrace it. And it brings both sides together. And somewhere within the last 10 years or so, you start to see more and more and more of this convergent angle happening. And that convergence ends up driving taste and driving community and allowing things to grow in the future.
Yeah, I mean, and on the aesthetic side, I mean, do you think that we're moving towards that more richer experience? I mean, Henry Rollins was recently, a few years ago, stating, you know, the industry is basically like, you know, kind of like they've basically Dairy Queened, you know, the experience where it's, here's your record. Do you think that maybe now finally there's a little bit more, you know, of, you know, it's more of, it's kind of going towards a, I don't know, I guess like Cold Stone Creamery kind of thing where, you know, you kind of dictate what you want and they make it for you kind of thing?
Well, I mean, fans have always dictated that, whether officially or unofficially, the fan always has their own tastes and they'll dictate the experience they want and they'll make it. I've seen conventions more often than not be willing to accept this kind of "you tell us what we want and we will oblige you" kind of notion. Especially smaller, like regional and local events, tend to be more than willing to listen to what their fans want and alter their tastes accordingly, which is a magnificent way of building your community. And I've seen some conventions that I used to go to that were very small have population explosions the moment they started to do things like that. But I think it all comes down to the producer of the content and the fan itself. And the one thing about fandom, at least today, that I really have noticed is everyone knows what they want. Everyone will find a way to get what they want. And in the end, maybe you can't make everyone happy, but everyone finds their own method of satisfaction. And I think that's what's important. We're moving along to a world where fans are able to practice the way they want independent of anything else, and they're going to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that, because as long as they still have that passion and they still have that drive, they're fans. And really, that's isn't that the whole point?
I would say that's exactly the point. And what do you think, I mean, what do you think, though, drove